Hello. Well, hey. We kind of have a third person on the show today. Everybody say hello to Sirius. He's just wagging his tail.
He's just wagging and breathing into the microphone.
So heavily breathing into the microphone. We had to quarantine my other dog out of the room because he was chewing his bone too loudly.
It was so loud. And then we tried, like, moving him to three different points in the room, and it made it worse every single time.
So we're struggling. We don't normally record at my mother's house because it is chaotic.
With the doggies.
But we're, you know, switching it up today.
Livin' it up. Jazzing it,
you know. Oh, yeah, so I'm Julie, by the way, if you didn't know.
I'm Kat, if you didn't know that either. I got a dog licking my foot right now.
Dogs love licking feet. But hey, welcome to Miss Murder.
Hello, yes. So, this case is gonna be fucking wild. This is my first two-parter.
Yes!
And I had to go get, what is it? We're recording this at 6 o'clock in the evening.
On a Saturday.
I had to stop and get coffee beforehand because I am so exhausted from going rabbit hole after rabbit hole after rabbit hole with this case. I know I am going to have missed details. Please don't hold that against me. I did so much reading. There's so much information.
You did your best, and that's all we can ask for. See, she's turned all red.
I'm bright red.
She's
now.
Bright red.
Thanks, Lafayette.
Who the fuck is Lafayette? I guess I will find out.
You will find out.
Okay, so
Lafayette, yes.
Follow up?
Yeah. So, if you followed our ms.murder_podcast Instagram, you should have seen the three photos that I posted of Charles Manson, the singer Beck, and Neil Gaiman. And any idea what those three people have in common?
I do not.
They're former Scientologists.
Oh my.
Yes.
Oh my.
Yes.
I was telling Catherine that the only thing I know about Scientology is that Tom Cruise is one and had a breakdown on public television about it. But that's kind of it.
Oh, was that when he was jumping on Oprah's couch about how he was in love with Katie Holmes?
Yeah, that's the one. And then they got divorced.
Hindsight's 2020.
Yeah. They thought they were soulmates.
Yeah.
So I'm glad Katie Holmes got out of that relationship.
Yeah. So, yes, Beck, the musician who beat out Beyonce in Album of the Year, and everyone was like, who the fuck is this guy?
Is he the guy that sings Loser?
I think so. I don't know.
I do like that song.
It is a good song.
I like the Glee cover of it.
That's a whole other episode conversation.
I am going to do my next episode on Puck from Glee and his crimes. No, I will not be doing that because I hate him.
Yes.
And, well, he's dead. That took a turn.
All right, let's do it. So, Beck the musician, he was one of the forefront members that the organization was, like, pushing, which I think may have been why he won Album of the Year. I don't know. Maybe that's a little conspiracy theory.
Is there a conspiracy about that?
I don't know. I'm inventing one right
now. I like it.
We'll go for it.
I love to invent conspiracy theories.
Yes, Neil Gaiman, the author of Good Omens, if anyone saw the Amazon show, he was actually born into Scientology, and his father was the head of the UK Scientology group.
Oh.
So he left, and he's like, he doesn't like speaking about it.
He was like, that was a dark time in my life. I do not want to recall.
We're not going
to
recall every moment of my childhood. And then good old Charles Manson, who he himself said, this is too crazy. And Charles Manson is, like, the epitome of crazy.
Charles Manson is, yes. Are you, so, like, if that tells you anything about what the foundations of this organization are.
Yeah.
I feel like that. You just needed to say, yeah, Charles Manson was a Scientologist. And then you'd be like.
Yeah, he became one when he was in prison. and was like, ooh, this is my thing. Oh, my new thing.
Right, right, right. He was like, instead of just finding God, he found Scientology and then was like, yeah, even that was too far-fetched.
He went through 150 hours of auditing, which I will get to. And that's when he was like, this is a little too crazy for me.
That's
and he even convinced one of his followers to go to the UK and work for the branch there. He commanded Bruce Davis.
That man literally had so much fucking pull. It was insane.
He literally made a man move across the pond.
He literally made people murder other people.
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't say that first. That's obviously much more horrific.
But is it, though? No, no, it is.
It's very horrific. Sharon Tate was apparently, like, an amazing person.
Yeah, so sad.
So, yes, we're going to talk about Scientology. And to do the introduction of this, I have taken What is Scientology from their website. Developed by L. Ron Hubbard, Scientology is a religion that offers a precise path leading to a complete and certain understanding of one's true spiritual nature and one's relationship to self, family, groups, mankind, all life forms, the material universe, the spiritual universe, and the supreme being.
That is a very loaded definition.
It is.
Like, they really are riding on a lot here. Like, there's a lot at stake.
Scientology addresses the spirit, not the body or mind, and believes that man is far more than a product of his environment or his genes. Scientology comprises a body of knowledge which extends from certain fundamental truths. Prime among these are: man is an immortal spirit being. His experience extends well beyond a single lifetime. His capabilities are unlimited, even if not presently realized. Scientology further holds man to be basically good, and that his spiritual salvation depends upon himself, his fellows, and his attainment of brotherhood with the universe.
Oh my.
Scientology is not a dogmatic religion in which one is asked to accept anything on faith alone. On the contrary, one discovers for oneself that the principles of Scientology are true by applying its principles and observing or experiencing the results. Yeah. The ultimate goal of Scientology is true spiritual enlightenment and freedom for all.
Now on paper, that all sounds delightful. It sounds delightful on paper, but as we know, that's not the case.
I've done research and even I can't tell you what it is.
Yeah. It just...
I felt so drained doing research for this because I'm like, oh my god, it's just so much information.
The fact that you stuck with it is admirable.
That's why I changed it on our little schedule. I was like, let me give myself like an extra week to like get through this.
Sometimes you gotta do that.
Yes. So, we're gonna get into Scientology. You know, have you heard of Dianetics?
No. I'm literally so ignorant about this topic. So I am here to learn from you and with our listeners about what you will be telling us today.
Julie, I'm glad we've got a little bit of alcohol because you're going to need it. Like, I'm not kidding you.
I'm just going to go ahead and take a sip.
Take a shot. So, wondering what why I said Lafayette?
Yes, who is Lafayette and is he the character from the hit Broadway musical Hamilton?
You know what? It's possible.
Oh my.
And I'm not just saying that. It's just like fucking possible.
Everyone's a Scientologist. Yes.
Well, I'll get into how that may be possible.
Okay.
We're not saying that's the truth. I'm just saying
we're speculating.
So yes, Lafayette Ron Hubbard, also known as L. Ron Hubbard.
Okay.
Yes.
That's what the L stands for.
Yeah.
It just like why. Why?
I think it was like a pen, like his, like as an author, because he wrote a lot of stuff.
But that's like such a like. So why your L. first Ron right? Hubbard. So why his first name though? Like why not Lafayette R. Hubbard?
They probably didn't have enough space.
Maybe it was too exotic. Ron too French. Ron just sounded so more, it is more palpable.
Yeah. So he was a science fiction writer who...
Sorry,
I'm only one sentence in and she's already done.
We're literally never going to get through this episode because I'm just going to have something to say about everything.
Yes.
Okay, let's go. Sorry.
She is. It's going to be a ride. So during the 1930s, I didn't even write down when this guy was born because that's how deep into the things I dived. Google it. He's a youngin' at this point. He's a youngin' writing short stories in the magazines, and they were extremely successful. And he found, like, Pulp Fiction magazines sort of thing, like the, you know, when you see, like, the sci-fi comic books, like, those were the sort of magazines that he wrote in.
Gotcha.
And so, in 1938, Lafayette's life takes a turn. He had to go through a dental procedure.
Oh.
That already there is life-changing in 1938.
Oh, well, that's true. I was going to say, like, I don't think I've been to the dentist and been like, this is where my life really begins. But I guess in 1938, you were pretty lucky to make it out with your life.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what happened to him, because it said that he had a reaction to a drug. So I'm guessing he, like, maybe was allergic to the anesthetic being used. And this man,
what'd he do?
Claimed that he died.
Oh my.
For 8 minutes.
Okay. Weird flex, but okay.
And upon his revival, I don't even know how you would fucking do that in the 30s, just punch him in the chest and call it a day.
Yeah, yeah.
He decided that he was so inspired, he was going to sit at his typewriter for 6 days and 6 nights.
So, this sounds like he's like, I am Jesus, and I am writing my manifesto.
Yes.
Okay, good. Yes. I'm glad that's where we're headed.
So he wrote one command, which has also been called Excalibur. And when he finished this book, he thought, I've done it. I've changed the world. This book is going to be more influential than the Bible. It is going to surpass the Bible.
Seems legit.
And the people who he thought were going to be so in love and infatuated and influenced and enlightened by his book, they didn't buy it.
It just flopped.
Yeah. So.
Oh, poor L.
You know how
poor L. Ron. I'm gonna just call him L. Ron. Poor L. Ron.
Poor L. Ron getting bullied at the playground because nobody likes his book. So, you know how, like, you know, you're like, oh, my dog ate my homework. That's why I don't have my homework. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He decided to take a little writer's twist on that statement as to why nobody bought his book, claiming that anyone who read it went insane or committed suicide.
So
that's why no one's heard about it. They're all dead or insane.
Is that something to be proud of?
Is that the kind of influence he wanted to inflict?
Like, I know no press is bad press, but I feel like maybe that's bad press.
But who's gonna know?
Who's gonna know? They're not,
they're not gonna know.
They're not gonna know. Because they're dead.
They're dead. Exactly. They're dead or insane.
That's
pretty much the same thing.
Oh, Ron. Oh, well, Ron.
So, he also claimed that a publisher read it and jumped out of a skyscraper window.
Holy fuck. What? Wait, yes. Was there nobody around to confirm these facts?
Well, I mean, it's the 1940s. You could, not the late 1930s. You could kind of get away with stuff.
You could literally get away with anything. Jesus fucking Christ.
Yep. But then World War II happens, and L. Ron becomes a naval officer. And this, around this time of World War II, that's when he got affiliated with spooky shit. Yes. He met Jack Parsons, who was a member of Thelema, I think is how you say it.
I don't know. I think it's Thelema.
Yes.
Sure.
And he was a leader of a lodge of Ordo Templi Orientis. So basically...
I didn't really understand anything that you just said there.
So basically our guy Jack here followed Aleister Crowley, who...
Okay.
Major occult spooky shit. Like, yeah. That's spook... Like, we could do a whole episode on him alone.
Jimmy Page was obsessed with Aleister Crowley. He bought his home.
Wait, who was?
Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin.
Oh!
Yeah, he was, like, obsessed with him and bought his house, like, his old home in the countryside.
That's...
And, you know, that's kind of, like, where the myth that Led Zeppelin sold their soul to the devil to become famous, and that they made
a pact. That's a cool way to get famous.
Yeah, I love that. But then apparently... John Bonham, he was like, I don't want to do this shit no more. I'm done with this Satan shit.
Uh-oh.
And then that's when he puked on his own vomit and died. I mean, it could have just been the alcoholism.
It's... We have to be skeptical. We have to consider all options here.
The devil, Satan.
It's the devil, yes. And so our guy Jack, he had a girlfriend, 21-year-old Sarah, and Elrond... started hooking up with her.
Oh, how old was Elrond at this time?
He
wasn't inappropriate.
It wasn't inappropriate.
Okay.
And Jack was cool with it.
Wait, so hold on. Elrond, okay, I must have missed that. Elrond started hooking up with Jack's
girlfriend? Yeah.
And Jack was like, yeah, no, that's Gucci.
Oh yeah, and you want to hear his explanation why?
Oh no.
He thought Hubbard, little Elrond, was possibly his guardian angel. And that Elrond was in touch with his higher power, or a higher power.
And that makes it okay for him to sleep with his girlfriend?
Yes.
Okay.
And so... I'm just anticipating how you're going to react to this. So, Hubbard and Jack, Elrond and Jack... through the occult, took part in a sex magic ritual.
Okay. Like, sex magic?
The Babylon Working.
That's what it was called?
Yes.
Oh, what?
And
does that even mean?
This is something that went on for a few months.
Like, you can just get freaky and just not make it a big thing. Like, just be like, hey, I'm into freaky shit in the bedroom, and just leave it at that. We don't need to call it the Babylon Working.
Because see, they wanted to do... So, you know how, like, in a video game, you pass level 1, level 2? So, they had gotten... I don't know what level 1 and level 2 were, but they were pretty much trying to summon what they called an elemental, who would take the ritual to the next level.
Okay.
So, they happen to meet Marjorie Cameron.
So, what is an elemental? I'm sorry.
I think it was, like, not like an angel, if I'm remembering it right, but basically a woman who is going to conceive a child that is the incarnation of Babylon.
Uh-uh. That's... A Rosemary's Baby type shit. I don't like it. No, don't summon that bitch. Let her stay where she's at. So yeah, who do they meet? I'm sorry.
So it was this woman, Marjorie, that they met. And she actually ended up becoming Jack's wife. Like, okay. They got married. And it was really weird because Jack's idea of his guardian angel... Because Elrond had red hair. His idea of a guardian angel was, like, a red-haired woman, like, beautiful, this, this, and that. And then they met Marjorie, who was a red-haired woman, boom, boom, boom.
Oh.
So, unfortunately, Babylon was never incarnated.
Oh,
so they just kind of said it was complete. We did it.
Okay.
It's weird. It's part of that, like, what?
Yeah. So they were, like, I guess the freaky sex wasn't enough to conjure her up?
I guess.
Okay.
You know, how things go.
Things just don't go the way you want them to sometimes. And, you know, it's just like that.
Yeah.
That's life.
So then after World War II, Hubbard married Sarah, and this is where he wrote Affirmations.
Wait, I thought her name was Marjorie.
Oh, Marjorie was Jack's wife. So, Jack and Marjorie.
Welcome to my life the past 2 weeks, keeping all
okay,
of this
so
straight.
Okay, so hold on. To reiterate, Jack was dating Sarah.
Yes.
But then, Elrond started fucking Sarah.
Yes.
But then, they both started fucking Sarah.
Yes.
And then they met Marjorie.
Yes.
But then, Jack was like, see you, Sarah. I'm gonna marry Marjorie because she's redheaded.
Yes.
Okay, I think I got it. And then they never conjured the spirit.
Right.
Okay, got it.
Right. And they just kind of were like, we're just going to pretend we
didn't even try.
Got it. So Elrond married Sarah, and this is where he wrote Affirmations. And it's basically this kind of self-hypnosis.
Okay.
So some of the things, your stomach trouble you use as an excuse to keep the Navy from punishing you. You are free of the Navy. Your hip is a pose. You have a sound hip. It never hurts. Your shoulder never hurts.
He was just manifesting that shit.
Exactly.
I'm going to manifest health. My leg is split into three parts from the bomb I just stepped on. But if I believe hard enough, it will go back into one piece because I manifested it.
You affirmed your belief that it would.
I love that for him.
Your foot was an alibi. The injury.
I'm sorry, y'all.
Your foot was an alibi. The injury is no longer needed.
Who needs...
That's like a great... I just like that third one so much.
I think you should embroider it and then hang it up. Your foot was an alibi.
The injury is no longer needed. Could you imagine if they did that at hospitals? The ER experiences?
Okay, so if anybody who knows me, or if you don't know me, I work... for a medical devices company that has the potential of saving people from foot amputations. And I'm just gonna be like, in our next sales training, I'm gonna be like, listen, so you just have to go up to the patient and just tell them, your foot was an alibi.
The injury is no longer needed.
I think sales will skyrocket.
Could you imagine your foot is literally blown off and the doctor's just like, well, you didn't need it.
It's your foot was just an alibi. It was holding you back.
Now you're free to be you, literally one step at a time.
Stop! One step at a time.
Oh my god. This is why we're gonna have so much fun in hell together.
Oh god. We're gonna have everybody cracking up.
Yep. So join us next week in hell.
It'll be much hotter than it is now.
Yeah. Okay. So he wrote Affirmations. He was ahead of his time. And then during the late 1940s, Hubbard created Dianetics.
Okay.
Along with the Hubbard Dianetic Research Foundation.
I have no idea what that is.
Wrote in my notes, we've all heard Dianetics, but Julie clearly hasn't.
Have y'all heard Dianetics?
Y'all? Well, let us know. Let me tell you what it is. So, you know how when you try to get a baby,
try to get a baby?
You try to get a baby to like eat food, so you're like, here's the airplane.
Okay.
That's basically what he did with getting adults to go to therapy.
Okay. Here comes therapy!
Yeah, he's like, here comes the engram! I jumped ahead on that joke there. I should have saved that for after. Jesus!
God damn it!
Okay, so Hubbard believed that the brain records everything, even when we're unconscious, it's still recording. Uh-huh. And all of our bad experiences are called engrams. And these engrams cause emotional and physical distress. Okay. So you have to go through an audit, like they audit your memories, your bad memories,
and you relive the traumatic engrams, and you become clear.
Okay.
It's like going to confession, but everything is recorded.
Interesting.
Like, they record everything.
I don't like that.
No. And they use what's called an E-meter to measure electrical resistance in the human body. And I guess it's almost like like people say your chakra's blocked.
Okay, okay.
It's
okay.
Like that with finding spiritual problems in yourself.
Okay, but how would you...
I think that's the best comparison for
it. But how would you measure electrical resistance or whatever in your body? It, like, similar to, like a... What's it called? Fucking...
EKG?
No, like a... What's...
I don't know what scratching my arm means.
Not an ultrasound.
You know, when you go to the ultrasound and they start scratching your stomach?
No, I was just... This is me thinking.
Oh.
No. The truth... The truth-telling device?
The lie detector?
What is it called?
It's a lie detector.
No. Is that just what it's called? Is there not a scientific name for a lie detector test?
No.
Oh, it's just called a lie.
I don't think so. Okay. Do you know how menacing that would be? It's time for the test.
Okay. Got it. Sorry.
Yes, it's just a lie detector.
So is it like a lie detector test where it can kind of like, they put electrodes on you and then it senses if your body does some sort of reaction or something?
Because here's the thing. So the FDA got involved because they were trying to consider them medical devices. So every E-meter has a label saying that the machine is a religious artifact. And auditing uses a tone scale. So, you know how, like, when you bullet, like, people bullet journal, yes. And they have, like, a page where, like, you can color code what your mood was for the day. That's basically kind of what that is. Like, you color code your mood.
Okay.
See, this is why nobody understands, like, nobody knows anything about Scientology, because there's so much and it's so confusing.
I just don't understand how that's a medical device. Like, how?
Yeah, they were... So, the FDA got involved because they're like, we've heard these are considered medical devices.
Okay.
And we're the FDA. Like, we have final say.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And the thing with all of this is that it was, like, there were actual therapies that influenced L. Ron to make all this.
Okay.
So, this is where, like... So, abreaction therapy... I think. I don't know, but it's, like, you basically relive an experience to have a catharsis.
Okay, okay.
And then he also, like, Carl Jung with his hypnosis and hypnoanalysis. Jesus.
Take a shot, because Kat can't speak English.
Hypnoanalysis. Yeah. So, he was basically spoon-feeding the public therapy with science fiction words. Here comes the train.
Interesting. So, like, literally just...
Or the
just,
plane.
So, comes literally plane. Just plagiarizing things that already existed. And then...
Putting a science name. Science fiction therapy.
Okay.
That's basically what this is. Yeah.
Okay.
So, this created a shit ton of money for him. Because this was, like, the hot thing to do.
All the celebrities got involved.
Oh, we'll get to that. Woo! So, while all this is happening, we have the real scientists. We have the American Psychological Association, who said, there's no empirical evidence to support this.
Right.
Like, how the hell are you going to measure an engram and then declare a clear level? Like, there's no way to
actually
measure
this. Right, you don't have, like, a base level,
exactly.
Like a control.
And so... This rejection made L. Ron so upset that this is why Scientology is against psychiatry and, like, medications, like, psychiatric medications.
Just because he got snubbed?
He got snubbed!
He is so petty. I hate L. Ron.
So, on their actual website, when you look as to, like, why are they against, like, psychiatry and stuff. So it basically says that during the 18th and 19th century, psychiatric patients were subjected to torture, and then, you know, as the years and decades go on, it turned into ice baths and insulin shocks, and then that progressed to electroshock therapy, which then progressed to lobotomies, and now drugs.
None of those are the same. The Scientologists,
yes,
are saying they've progressed from actual forms of torture to scientifically proven medication.
Drugs are the new torture.
Oh,
that's what they're saying. Yeah. So
just medical advances then in general.
Like psychiatric.
But like literally all medical things started pretty much as torture when we didn't fully understand how medicine worked.
Yeah, your foot hurts, let's just cut it off and see what happens.
Yeah, like your barber was also your doctor, was also your dentist.
Yeah.
And they just sawed off parts of your body.
Exactly. You get a haircut and lose a finger. It just works that way. So then in 1951, Hubbard ended up losing the rights to Dianetics, the modern science of mental health. And the New Jersey Board of Medical Examiners basically took down the foundation he had because it's like you're trying to teach medicine without a license. And I read somewhere that he got, like, a fake degree. So.
Makes sense.
Totally makes sense. But then his marriage to Sarah was falling apart.
Oh, no.
He had been having an affair with a 20-year-old woman who worked in PR as an assistant. And Sarah had a new man who happened to be a Dianetics auditor.
So both of them were cheating on each other.
Both of them were cheating on each other, but Elrond, I'm a man.
You will not be cheating on me,
you
ma'am.
You do not cheat on me, I'm the man. So he goes to the FBI.
Oh, good God.
And he tells the FBI that Sarah and her auditor boyfriend are communists.
The Red Scare.
And even the FBI, they were just kind of like, all right, buddy, just let it out. And there was an agent that said, Hubbard appears mental.
He is acting like a disgruntled pelican.
Disgruntled pelican. So, like a pelican, he kidnapped Sarah and their daughter.
Oh my God.
And took them to San Bernardino.
So I just want to know how is this inherently good? Because his whole, didn't you say that the whole thing about Scientology is like believing man is inherently good and it's all about their connection with their fellow man? I feel like kidnapping just doesn't really align.
It's a new way of connecting with people.
Just by force. You're still connecting.
You're connecting by force. So he wanted a doctor to say that Sarah was insane, but that didn't happen.
Yikes.
And then Sarah was released, and so Hubbard took their daughter to Cuba.
Okay.
And then when she filed for divorce, Sarah accused him of bigamy, pretty much, like, torture of, like, depriving her of sleep, physical beating, strangulation, and I think he was threatening to kill himself if she left, if I interpreted that right.
Because
it just
said emotional abuse.
Yeah, it just said like threats of suicide. And I was like, but I feel like he was the one doing it. Yeah. So they managed to reach a settlement. She got her daughter back.
Thank God.
And one of the things that she had to do was release a statement as a part of the settlement. The things I have said about L. Ron Hubbard in courts and the public prints have been grossly exaggerated or entirely false. I have not at any time believed otherwise than that L. Ron Hubbard is a fine and brilliant man.
Oh, Sarah girl, no.
Sarah did what she had to do to get her daughter back, though. She got her daughter back.
That's true.
True. So then with this divorce, Elrond marries 18-year-old Mary Sue Whip.
God.
Who worked for him. Huh. So, he created the Hubbard Association of Scientologists International. And he basically centered it on the science of certainty. And Dianetics is about releasing your mind from toxic engrams, the bad experiences. Mm-hmm. So Scientology is studying the spirits and how it relates to life and other universes.
Okay. Sure. Yeah. I have no idea what that even means. So
yeah, I don't
I'm just
either.
Gonna go with it.
Okay, so February 18th, 1954, his followers created the Church of Scientology of California. Mm-hmm. And so one of the beliefs that they have is called the ARC triangle, which is affinity, reality, and communication. Mm-hmm. Without a high degree of liking and without some basis of agreement, there's no communication. Without communication and some basis of emotional response, there can be no reality. Without some basis for agreement and communication, there can be no affinity.
Okay.
So they have their little ARC triangle. And then a year later, in 1955, he created Project Celebrity.
I'm just here for the drama, so let's go. It's getting good.
Oh, it's gonna get even, like...
I'm ready. Let's bring the celebrities into this shit.
So, this was basically, like, his letter to Santa about what celebrities he wanted to join Scientology. He actually, like, printed this. Like, you can find, like, if you type in Project Celebrity on Google, like, it will show you the actual, like, print announcement that they put out.
They are soliciting these fellow celebrities to join our cause.
So, some of the celebrities that were on his wish list.
Okay, okay. Let's go.
Walt Disney.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay.
Pablo Picasso.
Wasn't he dead by this point?
Pablo Picasso died in like the 80s.
Oh, what did I think?
It was like the 70s or 80s, if I'm remembering it right. Why? But like, he's much more modern, I guess. Than we think, yeah.
I literally thought he was like in the 1800s.
That's okay.
I am stupid.
I think he died, like, during the 70s or 80s. Huh. Like, considered recent compared to others.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I just had no idea.
Orson Welles.
Okay.
Ernest Hemingway. Groucho Marx. Vincent Price. Liberace.
Okay.
And Billy Graham. Of the Billy Graham family.
I just feel
I'm pretty sure it's him, because when I Googled it, I was like, is this Billy Graham of the Graham evangelical family?
Yeah, right.
And I tried looking it up, because there's no other Billy Graham.
There's
literally no other Billy Graham. It, like, has to be him.
Yeah, okay. Hold on. See, now I told you, you should have gone out there with your brother, but you decided you wanted to be all up in our business. Play the elevator music. Okay, where were we? Oh, so, yeah, Billy Graham.
Billy Graham.
This man is a Jesus follower.
Yes.
If I am not,
like,
he's like really, he's like the Jesus man.
They're literally evangelical businessmen. Like,
yeah. So, I just
all the time,
like,
in Charlotte, we see ads to go to the Billy Graham Library.
Like, literally, you're not going to get this man to convert from his
evangelical
faith. Oh,
yeah, that whole
faith.
Family, like, we could do an episode, not on the crime with them, but just the family drama.
Yeah, yeah, love it.
It's fucking insane. But the project didn't take off. I mean, there's, like, a whole list. Those were the people that I think most people would recognize. Mm-hmm. There were other names on there that I didn't know. So mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, these are the most... People will know who I'm talking about with these. And then in 1966, Narcanon, which is a drug rehabilitation program that was created. And that's how... That's like their rehab center.
Okay.
And that's how Christy Alley got into Scientology. Because she got clean through their program. And they also created...
How did they even... So, like, rehab facilities? Like, they don't have to be accredited or anything? Like, they can just be, like...
See, this is one of those rabbit holes where, like, you fall down with just this facility alone. I don't know if... I don't know if it's accredited.
Like, cause...
But it's a program that they have.
Well, that's what I'm saying is, like... There has to be some, like...
Yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised if they had licensed counselors.
Well, I mean, I guess, like, if you...
Who were Scientologists.
Yeah. If we're gonna bring the movie Holes into another episode, like, when you think about, like, that camp, like, the counselors in that camp and stuff were never actually licensed. Like, youth counselors. Yeah, or anything. I bet you they probably weren't.
That's a whole other rabbit hole we should fall down at some point. I just saw that that's how Christy Alley got in, and I was like, I'm just gonna write that down.
Like it, love it.
But then they also created the Guardian's Office.
Okay.
And this is the Legal Bureau / Intelligence Agency.
Oh my. Okay.
Yep. Because you know how they record all the audits?
Yeah.
So if someone wants to leave...
They can blackmail them with... Every single fucking negative thing that's happened in their life.
Yes.
That's cynical, bro.
And during the 1970s, it was the Guardian's office that put together Operation Snow White.
Uh-huh.
Which basically, they were going to get rid of any and all records, statements, anything that said negative things about L. Ron and Scientology. So this meant stealing documents from the Better Business Bureau, the American Medical Association, and the American Psychiatric Association. And that's what caused the U.S. to investigate Scientology in the 70s and 80s.
They're gonna pull a heist! Or they want to pull a heist? I don't know if they succeed.
It's... I mean, they got celebrities in the end.
Well, I mean, like, the getting rid of the...
Oh, yeah, no, they've... Like,
how are you
going to... You could do a whole episode alone on their surveillance techniques. I'll enlighten you, okay. Yes, because you never leave.
Oh, no.
Even when you're physically not there... They don't leave you alone.
That's literally so scary.
Yeah. So, in 1969, they created the Celebrity Center International, which they wanted to be, like, a hub center for, like, artists, social leaders, you know, to try to get celebrities and artists into the organization. And so L. Ron was rolling in money because he set it up so that he would be paid a percentage of the church's gross income, which is $2,275,000.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I want that kind of dough.
So I talked about the ARC triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe you don't know this. So, one of the big things is that one of the philosophies is that there is an immortal soul called the Thetan.
Okay. Every single name that you have mentioned is literally more ridiculous than the last name of something.
Yeah, it's going to keep going that way.
Hell yeah, let's go.
So... That is your true identity. This immortal soul is your true identity.
My Thetan.
Yes.
I hate it.
So, these immortal souls, they're the ones, if I read this right, they're basically the ones that created the universe, our galaxy, they created the Earth to, like, entertain themselves. I guess you could say, like, the Greek gods created man for entertainment.
Right.
To, like, keep, you know. So... These immortal souls, these Thetans, became corrupt because they were losing their spiritual purity by identifying more with the universe that they had created.
Mm.
And this, the Thetan immortal soul,
that's where you get into areas of reincarnation.
Okay.
So, like, your, I think it said that, like, your current status in life is reflective of what your, I think if I'm reading this right, there's so much information. Your current life reflects what your Thetan past life did.
Okay.
So, who knows if Lafayette, I mean, like, was reincarnated into Lafayette Ron Hubbard.
Maybe.
Maybe.
But Lafayette was a good person. Well, Hamilton.
In the musical.
In the musical.
Well, just in the musical.
Not.
That's it.
We're not saying that the founding fathers were good people, because they weren't. But that's a discussion for another day.
It is. Now, do you want to hear about one of the main scriptures of Scientology?
Yes, absolutely, I do.
There was a dictator.
Oh, okay.
Named Xenu.
Okay.
And Xenu brought billions of people to Earth through a spaceship that basically looks like an American Airlines plane.
Okay, so let me tell you what I think. Let me tell you what I think so far. I think Lil Elron was mad as fuck that his book didn't do well. And so he was like, if I can't get people to read my book as a book, I'm going to make them believe that it is reality. Yeah. And he just took little bits and pieces from his book and then just started fucking just
throwing and seeing what sticks.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's literally, that's all that this has been. It's just been like, oh yeah, if this, we're going to do this, but then if it doesn't work, we're actually going to call it this and do this instead. Listen, Elron, we get it. You're an artist. You want people to see your work. This is not the way to go about it.
But don't you want to hear what happened in the story of Xenu?
Fuck Xenu.
So, he basically brought billions of people to Earth
from spaceship.
On a spaceship.
Okay.
And I didn't write down the name of the model that it's fine. Supposed to resemble, but basically everybody came to Earth on American Airlines. That's literally what the ship looks like. Now, Xenu, he was a tyrant.
Okay.
That controlled the Galactic Confederacy.
Holy fuck.
Which...
Okay, keep going.
Now, the Galactic Confederacy ruled the Earth and the galaxy for tens of millions of years. Now, when the people came on Earth through the American Airlines spaceship...
The Boeing 747. Yeah.
So I don't know if they put this. I think if I interpreted it correctly, they put the spaceships into volcanoes and detonated hydrogen bombs.
I just have no words.
And this called the Thetan immortal souls to merge with humans.
The H-bombs?
The Thetan immortal soul that's like your true self that became corrupt. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So that's basically what
caused
it. Yeah, so everybody, everybody has a Thetan inside them.
So like the immortal souls created all of these beings in the world and the universe. And then Xenu became a tyrant,
mm-hmm.
and then exploded all of the spacecrafts inside volcanoes. And then so this is when the Thetans were like, okay, now we have to step in.
I think it was like the chaos of hydrogen bombs just like fuel. Like,
oh, it just them. Like sporadically will like Friday that shit. Okay, got it. This is literally just a bad sci-fi novel. Oh my god.
Okay, but there was a group within the Galactic Confederacy.
Say Galactic Confederacy, I can't. I just can't.
Sorry. Galactic Confederacy. So, they were known as the Loyal Officers, and they got together and they overthrew Xenu.
Yes.
They destroyed the tyrant.
Goodbye.
So, meanwhile, back on Earth.
Okay. I thought that they brought them to Earth.
Back to today's Earth.
Okay. There's too much going on.
Oh my god. So, Elron
On August 12, 1967, he created the Sea Organization, also known as the Sea Org. And the Sea Org is based on the loyal officers who overthrew this dictator.
Right.
So basically, this is like a paramilitary force. And he commandeered three ships, like Christopher Columbus, the Diana, the Athena, and the Apollo.
I thought they were the Nina, the Pinta, and the... Oh, that's the... Okay, got it. Got it. Never mind. Ooh, child. If you... I'm sorry to all of my history teachers that I've ever had. Genuinely, I apologize. Oh, I should have paid more attention in your class.
So basically, yeah. This was also his way of escaping controversy.
Shot.
I can't speak.
So, if L. Ron was right about one thing, is that this is definitely making us go insane.
Yes.
It's like I'm gonna jump out this window.
Literally,
right now.
I kept delaying the research. Like, I would do it for an hour, and I was like, I fucking can't. I gotta step away.
Take a break.
I can't.
Makes sense.
So, the Sea Org is based... We could do a whole episode alone on the Sea Org, because it's so fucked up. So, basically, this is a paramilitary force.
Right.
Kind of to have Ron remember his days in the Navy during World War II. Yeah. His ships, he named the Diana, the Athena, and the Apollo.
Mm-hmm.
And the highest ranking members of Scientology are a part of the Sea Org.
Okay.
So, the Sea Org has been described as being totalitarian because of the way it supervises everyone and surveillances everyone. And there have also been issues of illegal child labor and child abuse. Yes. I'm pretty sure the Lena Remini series, they have a whole episode just on the Sea Org.
Oh my god, we need to watch.
Yes.
We need to watch.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to have to rewatch the episode I need for part two. And the people have to commit to a billion-year contract.
Okay. Like, so that means, like, they're reincarnations and stuff, too?
Probably.
But what if your reincarnation's, like, not into it? How would they know? How would they know that their previous soul? I don't know.
That's a good question for Ron.
L. Ron, if you're listening, holla at your girl, let me know.
So I went on the Scientology website to find their statement on the Sea Org. The first Sea Org members formulated a 1 billion year pledge to symbolize their eternal commitment to the religion, and it is still signed by all members today. It is a symbolic document, which, similar to vows of dedication in other faiths and orders, serves to signify an individual's eternal commitment to the goals, purposes, and principles of the Scientology religion.
That's just such overkill.
Yeah, and like when you read their website, it's all these words, but it doesn't mean anything. Like when you read about their principles and their beliefs, it's like, but what does that mean?
Like you literally just talked in circles.
Yes.
That's it. Okay.
Very fluffy circles.
But also, like the Sea Org that's like known to be totalitarian and stuff, but it was based on essentially the revolutionaries of the loyal guys that overthrew the totalitarian government.
Yeah, so...
So, I feel like L. Ron is, like, just not really under... Like, I don't even think he knows what he's talking about anymore.
He doesn't understand his own...
Because he's not really vibing with his own shit at this point.
And so, in 1968, Hubbard was living specifically on the Apollo, and this is where he created the Commodore's Messengers. So, these messengers are considered, like, they are the elite of the elite.
And I thought the highest ranking officers were in the Sea Org.
They are, but if you were a Commodore's messenger, you were, like, you were in the golden circle because you had direct contact with Hubbard. They were basically, like, his assistants.
Okay.
And they would, like, give him cigarettes if, like, it was really weird because when I was reading it, like, if he gave an order, they would have to say it with the same, they would have to mimic how he said it perfectly. And they would go and deliver the message.
mimic his tones, inflections, uh-huh. and all of that. And so the original messengers were young teenage girls.
No.
Janice was 11, Terry was 12, Annie was 12, and Suzette was 13. So when I saw their ages, I was like, why the fuck is he getting young teenage girls? And I found this quote from somebody that asked him directly.
No.
I once asked him why he chose young girls as messengers. He said it was an idea he had picked up from Nazi Germany.
Don't pick up any ideas from Nazi Germany.
He said Hitler was a madman, but nevertheless a genius in his own right.
What?
And the Nazi youth was one of the smartest ideas he ever had.
Yes, let's indoctrinate a bunch of young teenagers just because they're easy targets.
Exactly. That is exactly it. With young people, you had a blank slate and you could write anything you wanted on it and it would be your writing.
No. I'm not.
That was his idea, to take young people and mold them into little Hubbards. He said he had girls because women were more loyal than men.
Okay. I guess he would know because he was cheating on his wife. Anyway.
So in 1976, 1977, 16-year-old David Miscavige joined the Sea Org. Now, David stands out because he was considered to be a prodigy.
Okay.
He was the youngest professional auditor at, like, 12 years old. He was performing audits on people.
Okay.
And his family got involved with the church because after a 45-minute audit session, this apparently cured David of asthma and his severe allergies.
Oh!
So they were like, oh shit, let's all join.
Wow, cured him of his asthma.
Yeah, but there's family drama within that I'll get into next week. Because David is why we're talking about all of this. So he became a Commodore messenger, and he became one of the closest people to Hubbard. Like, so close.
Like...
Not like...
Like, too close?
Like, power. Like,
oh,
power-hungry close.
God. Yeah. It's that Hitler youth.
Who?
It's that Hitler youth.
So during the 1970s, this is when Hubbard is starting to decline, and this is also, you know, because throughout the 1970s... Well, let me just talk about what Hubbard went... Ron had a little rough in the 70s.
Oh, God.
So,
who didn't?
Yeah, so in the Sea Org, they were basically getting kicked out of various countries. Like, I'm pretty sure they got kicked out of Greece. Like, just all these places they would dock and they would get kicked out. So, he was basically on the run from legal prosecution because the French government was after him for fraud and customs violations. And he was told, like, it's, you may be extradited to France. So, he's like, I'm out. Goodbye. Good night.
I will not be doing that.
But whoever their god is in Scientology, he's like, I'm gonna make this a little fun for you while you're on the run. He had a serious motorcycle accident in 1973. Then he had a heart attack in 1975. And then he had a pulmonary embolism and fell into a coma in 1978.
A whole ass coma.
A coma that he emerged from.
This man will not die.
No.
Die, motherfucker.
And so, in 1978, in California, there was the Gilman Hot Springs, which is basically this resort that went bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
So Hubbard bought the property and turned it into the Golden Base. And the Golden Base is the international base of Scientology.
Mm.
It is constantly monitored. Guards, patrols. There is a tall fence with spikes on it.
Shut up.
To prevent people, they say, from leaving. They say, oh, it's to prevent people from getting in. But the way the spikes are set up, if somebody wanted to get out, they couldn't.
They couldn't.
And they even monitor, like, the traffic, like, who drives by.
That is so scary. That is literally so scary.
Yep. So this is where, because Golden Base is going to come in on part two as okay. well. So that's why I went ahead and added that in there. So Hubbard is still moving around from safe houses, even though they've set up Golden Base. And France? They were like, even though you're not here, we're still going to convict you. So they convicted him. And he was also looking at charges in the U.S. for Operation Freakout.
Operation Freakout?
Yes. Because remember how Operation Snow White, they're like, no negative things can be said?
Yeah.
There was a journalist, Paulette Cooper, who had been critical of the church since it had started. And their goal was to get her committed to an insane, like a psychiatric hospital.
Oh my god.
Yeah. For an org, because they believe psychiatric hospital is modern torture.
Right.
And that didn't work. That did not work. So he basically went into hiding. And he even hit, like, his wife didn't even know, like, where he was. Like, he cut off everybody. But I think David Miscavige was one of the few
that actually still
was in his circle. He was still giving out orders. Like, he would deliver orders and, like, people would follow them. And he was also still receiving money from the church, which the IRS was not too happy about.
Yeah.
So they decided to spice up his life and have a little knock-knock. And then in 1982, after all of this has happened, this is when he released Battlefield Earth.
Is that a book?
It is a book that was turned into a movie.
Okay.
And guess who funded said movie?
If you tell me Tom Cruise, I will legit...
No, we're not talking Tom Cruise. We're talking the OG Scientologist. John Travolta.
John, why must you forsaken us this way?
He actually funded this movie. And the only reason I have seen parts of this movie is because it's so terrible that my dad puts it on for entertaining background noise while he's doing work. Hold on. I need to show Julie. I'm going to show Julie pictures of Battlefield Earth, and we're going to hear her reactions.
Let's go. Is this on Netflix?
I don't believe so. But the movie, hold on, let me give you a little premise.
All right. Cue the elevator music. All right, yeah.
In the year 3000, there are no countries, no cities. Earth is a wasteland. And man is an endangered species. As the leader of the evil Cyclos, Turl and his race have taken over the world's natural resources and disregarded everyone and everything else. It's up to Johnny, good boy Tyler, a brave human, to battle the Cyclos and restore normalcy to the world. Their budget was $73 million. It boxed off as $29.7 million.
So yeah, I think this, all of this just comes from Elrond just being petty and feeling snubbed at the fact that nobody read his books.
But they're gonna watch this movie, because you know who was in this movie? John Travolta.
Of course, yeah, he is.
Forrest Whitaker.
Oh my god. Forrest, no.
And his wife, John Travolta's late wife, Kelly Preston, was in it. And then Kim Coates, who played Tig in Sons of Anarchy, is also in this movie.
I have never seen Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's basically Hamlet with motorcycles. That's okay. Like the simple version, but I loved it. It was so good. It made me so sad. All right. So this first photo is going to be of a... And we'll post this on the Instagram, yeah, too. John Travolta and Forrest Whitaker in character on Battlefield Earth.
No!
Yes, that device on his nose is so that they can breathe on Earth.
Why does John Travolta have dreads? This is just...
And John Travolta wanted to play good boy, but by the time... You know, they were able to come up with all this funding. He was too old, so he decided to be the bad guy.
I can see that.
I must watch this.
Oh, yes. It's...
This looks so bad.
It's so, like, it's terrible.
Rotten Tomatoes?
Oh, we can rent it on Amazon. Ooh. Yes, it has a 3% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh.
So this shit is foul.
That seems generous.
This is foul. Oh, man. I want to know what some of the critics' reviews were. Let's see. Oh, they canceled sequels. How unfortunate.
Yes.
Let's see. Battlefield Earth is often considered to be one of the worst films ever made. Ugly, campy, and poorly acted. Battlefield Earth is a stunningly misguided, aggressively bad sci-fi folly. Overwhelming dislike.
Oh, Elrond, you did it again. And by did it, I mean created another terrible piece of literature.
Oh my gosh. Travolta on asking assembled journalists if they enjoyed it and received no reply. He later asserted that other filmmakers enjoyed the film.
Did they?
When I felt better about everything was when George Lucas and Quentin Tarantino and a lot of other people that I felt knew what they were doing saw it and thought it was a great piece of science fiction.
Shut the fuck up. George Lucas did not tell
Roger,
you that.
Roger Ebert, the famous 5-star, compared his screening to taking a bus trip with someone who has needed a bath for a long time.
Oh, no.
It's not merely bad. It's unpleasant in a hostile way. I watched it in mounting gloom, realizing I was witnessing something historic. A film that for decades to come will be the punchline of jokes about bad movies.
It's not even, like, one of those bad movies that eventually got a cult following.
Yeah.
And then, like, became a treasure
movie.
Well,
I mean, it got the cult following in Scientology.
Well, yeah, but you know what I'm saying?
Mainstream.
But, like, mainstream.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It, like, literally was just like, no, this is just bad.
This is so bad. So I'm basically just reading the Wikipedia page. Entertainment Weekly spoof poster for Battlefield Earth, quoting the film's many negative reviews. Hypnotically foolhardy. 0 stars.
Zero.
A bloated sci-fi monstrosity.
Oh my.
Bewildering. The showgirls of sci-fi shoot 'em ups. Have you seen Showgirls?
I have
not. I have to show you Showgirls. Okay. It's also horrible.
Yes.
But it's one of those horrible movies that got a cult following.
Right.
So like it's a good bad
good,
movie.
Good bad movie.
Yes. Yes. So. It received 8 Golden Raspberry Awards.
I bet they did.
And won Worst Picture of the Decade in 2010.
Good. Good.
So while Hubbard was basically in hiding from all of these people, that's when members of the Sea Org were like, we're taking over.
Oh, so like literally doing what the loyal guys
they
did.
They literally did what the loyal officers
oh,
did.
Oh, loyal officers, yeah.
Yeah. And David Miscavige became the leader.
Mutiny.
And Mary Sue, Hubbard's wife, had to resign. And their daughter, Suzette, became Miscavige's maid.
Oh my god. That's fucked up.
And on January 17th, 1986, Hubbard died of a stroke. And David Miscavige was the one to announce his death because it was an de facto leader or something.
Yeah.
Saying that his body was preventing him from doing his work. So he dropped it to continue his research on another planet.
His body was an alibi. It was no longer needed.
Essentially, affirmations, David. Affirm your leader.
Oh my god. That sounds a little fishy.
It does. But, I mean, he was, like, in his 80s.
Yeah.
He was an old guy. And he was cremated and his ashes were spread at sea.
But so you think.
So they say.
So they say.
Because when Scientology wants to get a point across, they will do it. Yeah. Like, so Hubbard had said that his reincarnation in return would be more of as a political leader.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll be back! And then he's...
How would they know?
They're not gonna know! So now, David Miscavige is the most highly ranked member in Scientology, but also the most controversial. Because not only are there accusations of David Miscavige physically beating members of Scientology and inflicting torture on other members, having members inflict torture on other members, his wife, Michelle, also known as Shelley, and as of October 2007, no one has seen her in public.
Shelley, where are you?
And that's where part two comes in.
I feel broken. I feel defeated.
It's just, like, because basically I wanted, for part one,
to try
to understand what Scientology is.
And just, like, establish the foundation of, like, this insane, highly, like, intrusive organization that demands perfection and, like...
Yes, because if you leave, they follow you.
So scary.
They film you constantly. They're outside on the street, parked in a car, watching you. Like, there have been journalists, like, people that have deflected the church and have left. Like, people... they'll hire people in the church to go with cameras and film them and follow them.
Oh my god.
And, like, even I think people who have even investigated the church to try to, like, understand, or, like, if they've reported anything about them in a negative way, they will send people to follow them. And they stay so distant so that no legal charges can ever come up.
Okay. So, if you're listening to this and we go missing... just know that it was Catherine's fault, first of all. And second of all, know that we have been kidnapped by the Church of Scientology. So.
And just so you know, there is a Scientology church in our city. Google it.
Yeah, so if we go missing, you know what happened. Damn.
And it wasn't Battlefield Earth.
It was not.
We didn't watch Battlefield Earth.
We didn't watch it.
A saga of the year 3000.
It doesn't sound like the fun Jonas Brothers song. I thought things were the same. We just lived underwater.
I think they're living with no water, so it's kind of a twist.
The Jonas Brothers got it all wrong.
They didn't learn what Elrond wanted them to learn.
No. Oh, God.
Yes. So that is the basis.
The backstory.
The backstory of Scientology. I know I missed things, but if you just Google it, it's literally like...
just use this as your jumping off point.
Yes. And then... because even with the Sea Org, there's a woman that died.
Oh, no.
On the Sea Org, and there have been allegations of abuse about that, and I wanted to dive into that, but I was like, wait, no, there's already so much information going on with this. I guess we'll just have to make, like, another episode about what happened to her, because next week I gotta talk about what happened to Shelley.
No!
Oh, because that's the thing, like, he's the most public figure of Scientology. He's literally the face of Scientology above the celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
And no one has seen his wife.
Yeah, that doesn't bode well for me.
Yeah.
For her.
No.
Oh, no.
I mean, with a competent president, you normally see the first lady.
Right. You know.
And she just...
She's just gone.
She's gone.
And does he just, like, claims she's...
well,
all right, from... or...
well, I don't want to, like...
spoil things.
But... they're... I think... the LA... well, no, because I feel like if I say anything, it's just going to, like, give it away.
Okay. Hold that question till next week.
Yes. I don't even know what to do for the ABCs of crime. Okay, so we're trying to come up with the ABCs of crime, and I have just pulled up this article. So remember when I said how he kidnapped his daughter and took her to Cuba?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
He called his wife and claimed that he killed her.
That man was a monster.
Members are also pressured to talk about their sex lives.
apparently a Scientology prison camp. Jerry Seinfeld dabbled in Scientology. Oh, they've been arrested for, or investigated, I'm sorry, the FBI investigated them for human trafficking. The church tried to censor Wikipedia, and the church spied on Nicole Kidman at Tom Cruise's request.
So this is literally just, like, the world's biggest cult. Yes. The world's biggest, like, most accepted cult.
Yes. And that's why, like, if you watch, I highly recommend watching Leah Remini's show. I think they just put it on Netflix. Because she interviews, like, high-ranking members that left. Like, people talk about their escape stories. There's literally so much that goes on. And they try to censor all of it. It's fucking crazy. Yeah.
That's insane. Which brings us to our ABCs of crime,
yay,
friends.
You made it.
Which, oof, this week is hard.
It's so hard, because there's literally so much to do, but it's like, what do we even do with it?
So, after, like, 15 minutes of spiraling about what to do for this week's ABCs of crime, no pressure. We have decided that today's ABCs of crime is going to be the letter N. For no Nazis.
Because if the leader, the divine leader of your church finds the ideas of the Nazis appealing, such as the Nazi youth, I don't think that's going to be a very good organization.
I just don't feel like that's who you should be associating yourself with.
I don't feel like that's not who you should be following.
No. So, yeah.
But then again, half the country did that with Trump, so. Again, what the fuck was wrong with you people?
Yes, seriously. We hope you enjoyed this crazy, crazy ride with us. And that you're looking forward to next week's episode about poor little Shelly and what happened to her, because I know I am. But for now, I guess all we have to say left is
good night. Sleep tight. Don't let the Xenu dictators bite you.
Don't let Elrond videotape and record all of your engrams and traumatic memories.
Don't let Elrond blackmail you with your dreams and nightmares.
Don't let him do that. Don't let him do that. Good night, crime-loving pals.
Good night.